Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the Voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Technology Report and This is America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we take you to Southern California. We tell about artwork on the side of buildings and bridges in the city of Los Angeles. Then, we spend a day with a Hollywood paparazzo, a photographer who takes pictures of movie stars. Los Angeles is famous for its murals. The artwork covers the sides of buildings and bridges over busy roads. They add color and personality to the city. Many people drive by a huge mural of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra every day as they go to or from work. The mural is easily seen from a major road near the city center. Kent Twitchell created the mural in 1991. 20 years earlier, he painted another mural on the side of a two-floor house.
I decided to paint my favorite actor, Steve McQueen. You know, I didn't fancy myself as being some heavy-duty modernist artist. I just painted what felt good to me.
Photographs of that Steve McQueen mural made Kent Twitchell famous. His other works include a work in honor of the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics and paintings of America's founding fathers. Some important murals, however, have been painted over or damaged.
I was so naive, I thought I was living in Florence and that people would just appreciate it and love it, but that didn't turn out to be the case in many instances, and a lot of the great LA murals are gone now.
Some historic art in Los Angeles has been repaired. Leslie Rayner is with the Getty Conservation Institute. She says experts carefully repaired a mural from 1932 by visiting Mexican artist David Alfaro Siqueiros.
He painted this very controversial image of a crucified central figure with an eagle looming above him and some revolutionaries aiming their rifles at the eagle.
She says the message of the painting is not clear. The eagle could represent the United States or Mexico. Each country has chosen the bird as its national symbol. But local leaders objected to the image, so workers painted over the Siqueiros mural. Yet the mural served to motivate and influence other artists over the past half century. Artist Lydia Emily uses wall art to express a social message. In one mural, she tells the story of a victim of the sex trade. The artist says her work shows the face of the young woman named Jessica and a bird that represents freedom.
I did an interview with Jessica where I learned her entire story, how she was kidnapped, how she was sexually trafficked for her whole life, how she was rescued, how she became who she is today, and then I tried to paint the narrative.
Lydia Emily also painted a mural in Skid Row, a neighborhood where many homeless people live. It shows an African woman of the Maasai tribe and native birds of Kenya. The artist says the image represents the difficult life of the world's indigenous native peoples. Los Angeles officials once opposed murals and other street art. Now, they are providing support as long as the owner of the property gives permission. Officials recently eased rules about street murals in an effort to get more art and color in the city. Wherever there are famous people, there are paparazzi. That is the Italian name for photographers who chase famous people in an effort to take their picture. Their photographs and video recordings can be worth a lot of money. Paparazzi sometimes wait outside the homes of actors, sports stars, and other famous people. The photographers may follow them as they go eat, go for a walk, and even fight among themselves. These pictures are often found later in newspapers and magazines. Giles Harrison owns the London Entertainment Group, a business based in Los Angeles. He sells pictures of famous people to all kinds of media organizations.
I used to see celebs all the time, but it never really occurred to me that I could make money off of taking photos of them, and now I know I can, I do.
He says most people like seeing pictures of famous people.
What they don't like is how they perceive that you get the photos. It's a guilty pleasure of everybody in the world.
One Saturday morning, Giles Harrison was looking for a new photo of someone famous, someone like singer Britney Spears.
Is she there?
No, is she in town?
I think she's in town.
Mr. Harrison and his team are always looking for Hollywood stars.
I don't even have my camera.
Yeah, no, it's Robert Redford. Getting in the car.
He says taking pictures of famous people lets him follow his dream of being a reporter and adding a little excitement to his life.
I've hung out of helicopters, I've hung out of airplanes, I've done a lot of crazy things to get a shot.
He employs more than 30 other paparazzi around the world.
You sure you're sitting at the right house then? Because apparently she got burgled yesterday.
I'm sitting at the right house.
Giles Harrison likes to look for celebrities when he drives around Los Angeles. He does not like to wait near the home of a famous person. David Faustino has been an actor since he was a boy. He is best known for his work in the television series Married with Children. David Faustino has been a target of photographers. He does not like them, but he knows he cannot escape them. He says at least they do not follow him like they do other celebrities.
They're a necessary evil. I don't mind them. I've been dealing with them since I was a little kid on Married with Children. And, you know, it gets a little crazy. I also don't have them chasing me around like, say, I don't know, Justin Bieber.
Yeah, it's all good. We're in Hollywood.
Michael Bergino is not a Hollywood actor, but he does like to read news about celebrities and watch videos online. He believes it is wrong for the paparazzi to photograph celebrities when they are with their children.
If they're with their family, yes, I think it should be, you know, that line right there where they shouldn't kind of try to interact with them yet.
Giles Harrison says he understands this concern, but he says many famous people cannot demand privacy and at the same time seek publicity.
You have people like the Kardashians doing photo shoots with their children and, you know, selling access to magazines. Once they open that door, you just can't switch it off.
And that is our program for today. It was based on reports from Mike O'Sullivan and Deanne Moses in Los Angeles. You can see their television reports on mural art and Hollywood paparazzi on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. We would like to know what you want to hear about on a future show. We read every message you send us. Just write to VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You can also send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. I'm Christopher Cruz. Thank you for spending some of your day with us here on The Voice of America.
The Technology Report is next, followed by This is America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Technology Report. Not everything you see in Hollywood movies is real. Some of the beautiful, strange, scary images might have been produced on a computer. They are called visual effects. They once were produced only in Hollywood. But that has changed. New technology makes it possible for one film to include visual effects created in different countries. Venkatesh Radham is the chief executive officer of Reliance Media Works in India.
In the last 5 to 7 years is where you've seen an explosion of actually content getting processed in different parts of the world, not just India, but be it China, Taiwan, Korea, India. These are all markets that content from Hollywood is going to.
Dave Rand is a co-founder of the Association of Digital Artists, Professionals, and Technicians. He says that sending visual effects work overseas hurts U.S. companies.
I've been at 12 different visual effects companies, been on the staff of 5, all of which have gone bankrupt for one reason or another. Basically, there's only 2. The way we work and the subsidy race has driven so many of them out of business.
Daniel Lay is the association's other founder. He believes U.S. federal courts should get involved in Hollywood's use of visual effects made by foreign companies.
The United States government puts very strong anti-subsidy laws that have been around for years that allow for domestic industries that are being injured by these international subsidies to seek relief through the trade courts.
Mr. Lay says he wants a tax ordered on work produced outside the U.S. Not surprisingly, Venkatesh Radham of Reliance Media Works does not agree.
It's not a progressive idea. You are actually artificially pumping up the cost. You're limiting talent availability.
Kunal Jindarkar works in Singapore for the visual effects company Double Negative. He says he learns a lot working on Hollywood movies with people from all over the world. His co-workers at Double Negative include people from Australia, France, and the United Kingdom. Venkatesh Radham says working with Hollywood improves the quality of work worldwide. He says it is important for visual effects companies to have a presence in the U.S.
You cannot survive in this marketplace without a physical presence here. So from that perspective, companies like us will continue to create American jobs in America rather than actually think about how much of this work is going to Canada or U.K. or India or China.
He says the visual effects industry will continue to develop. He adds that those who want to stay in the business will have to continue to change with it. And that's the VOA Learning English Technology Report. For more technology stories, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Give us a like on the VOA Learning English Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Learn English. You can also watch videos on the VOA Learning English YouTube channel. I'm Jonathan Evans.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to This is America. I'm Steve Ember. Visitors to Washington, D.C. know about such tourist attractions as the Lincoln and Jefferson Memorials, the World War II Memorial, the Washington Monument, but we'd like to tell you today about a very special monument just across the Potomac River from Washington in Arlington, Virginia. The Marine Corps War Memorial, also called the Iwo Jima Memorial, is one of the largest freestanding statues in the world. Today, we tell you about this memorial and the story behind it.
It's very overpowering. You can't help but think about all the lives that have been lost for our country.
Our program today is about one moment in time. Really, 1/400th of a second. That's the amount of time it took Associated Press photographer Joe Rosenthal to capture an historic image on film. The photograph shows six men and an American flag during a battle in World War II. Joe Rosenthal took the picture on February 23, 1945, on the Pacific island of Iwo Jima. Japanese forces held the island. American Marines were attempting to capture it. On the fourth day of battle, Marines fought to the top of Mount Suribachi, the tallest mountain on Iwo Jima. A small American flag was sent to the top. The Marines placed the flagpole in the ground and raised the flag into the air. But the flag could not be seen clearly far below. Commanding officers ordered the Marines to replace it with a much larger one. Joe Rosenthal was among Marines when he heard there would be a flag ceremony. He wanted to capture the event on film, so he took his camera and climbed slowly up the mountain, avoiding marked landmines. But when he got to the top, it was too late. The ceremony had ended. He then saw other Marines carrying another flag. Joe Rosenthal backed away from the group. He hoped to get a picture of both flags, one being removed and the other being placed on a pole. But he began talking to another photographer and missed the moment he was waiting for. A minute later, he saw movement out of the corner of his eye. "There it goes," he said. He swung his camera up, following the movement of the flag, and took his famous photograph. Four men are clearly seen in the photo. They are Harlan Block, a Marine from Texas, John Bradley, a Navy corpsman from Wisconsin, Franklin Sousley, a Marine from Kentucky, and Ira Hayes, a Marine and American Indian from Arizona. Behind these men are two other Marines. They are Rene Gagnon of New Hampshire and Mike Strank. Mr. Strank lived in Pennsylvania, but was born in what was then Czechoslovakia. The next day, Joe Rosenthal's film went by airplane to the island of Guam, where it was developed and printed. The photographs were given to an Associated Press photo editor. It was the editor's job to decide which ones to send to the United States. They would go on a machine that sent images by radio. As histories tell it, the editor looked and looked at the first photograph and said, "This is one for all time." Within minutes, he sent the picture of the six men raising the flag to the Associated Press headquarters in New York. From there, the photo went to newspapers across the United States. Most decided to print a huge copy on their front page. Many photo experts will tell you that the picture Joe Rosenthal made is almost perfect. The camera catches the flag as it rises. The flagpole cuts across the photograph. Wind blows against the flag. The experts also say you must look at the picture as the American public saw it in 1945. The world had been at war for years. Victory was not yet certain. Many people worried about family members. Many had a deep fear of the enemy. The picture shows strength and courage. It suggests that six young men are working together to defeat the enemy. Joe Rosenthal's photograph seemed to say, "The battle may not be over, but we are winning." It was the very image of a future American victory. In Washington, D.C., Felix de Welden saw the photograph in the newspapers. At the time, he was working at an Air Force base. Born in Austria, he came to the United States and was an artist in the Navy. Many years later, he would say, "When I first saw it, I recognized the power of this photograph. I could not take my eyes from it. I looked at the photograph for some hours and then began working." Felix de Welden made a small statue of Joe Rosenthal's picture in 72 hours. Within days, members of Congress had seen the small statue. Many began to call for a huge statue. President Franklin Roosevelt ordered the Marine Corps to send home the men who had raised the flag. By then, however, it was too late. Mike Strank, Harlan Block, and Franklin Sousley were dead. They were among the more than 6,000 Marines killed on Iwo Jima. Navy Corpsman John Bradley had been severely wounded, but he, Rene Gagnon, and Ira Hayes returned to the United States. People said they were heroes. The three men said they had done nothing but help put up a flag. But Joe Rosenthal's photograph was so powerful, nothing would change people's minds. Felix de Welden soon made a life-size copy of the statue. He carefully copied the faces of the three survivors. He used all the photographs he could find for the three who had been killed. Joe Rosenthal's photograph became more and more famous. His work earned the Pulitzer Prize. There was public demand to put the image on a postage stamp. In July of 1945, the government agreed. More than 137 million stamps were produced. People also demanded a huge statue of the six Marines. So in 1946, Felix de Welden started all over again. First, he made a statue out of plaster. Then he used the plaster form as a guide to make the final statue out of bronze metal. It took him 9 years to complete the statue. The memorial honors all members of the United States Marine Corps who died in battle since the American Revolution. Each of those battles is mentioned at the base of the statue. On November 10, 1954, President Dwight Eisenhower led dedication ceremonies at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. The burial grounds are across the Potomac River from Washington. The three surviving Marines, Ira Hayes, Rene Gagnon, and John Bradley, and photographer Joseph Rosenthal attended the ceremonies. It was their last time together. Ira Hayes died 3 months later. In 1994, John Bradley died. He was the last to die of the six men who raised the flag on Iwo Jima. Felix de Weldon died in 2003, and Joe Rosenthal in 2006. Over the years, millions of people have come to see the huge statue that Felix de Weldon made.
It's very impressive. It's a great piece of history.
It stands in a grassy area at the edge of Arlington National Cemetery.
Fantastic. You know, it's very emotive. It's something that you see on many images from around the world, and to actually come and see it, it's even more immense than what you imagine it is.
The statue weighs more than 20 tons. Each man is almost 10 meters tall. The men seem about to move. Their bodies push forward as they struggle to raise the flag. Their clothes show the bones and muscles underneath. Their faces show the hard work.
And you just saw what a bitter battle it was, terrible battle, and the bravery of the men. And we'd heard that even artistically, this was an absolutely beautiful, beautiful monument. And it is, it's very moving. And to see the actual flag moving, it's not,
yes.
that adds a lot, isn't it? The fact that it's not a sculptured flag, that it's an actual flag.
Many visitors say, seeing the statue is an emotional experience. People stand and look up at the six men, and they take pictures, just as Joe Rosenthal did on Mount Suribachi.
It's quite emotional.
It is. I mean, when you look at the photograph that was taken by the photographer, that was a one-in-a-lifetime picture, which he could take another million pictures and never get one which would stand out and represent not humanity, but the success of making people free.
You know, from heroism.
Heroism. Yeah, because you know, you read lots about what people do in war, and some things just go on and above what you would expect. So it's very good to come and see it.
Soon after the photograph from Mount Suribachi was published, some people began to dispute it. They suggested that Joe Rosenthal had placed everyone where he wanted them and then took the picture. Joe Rosenthal always said that was not true. Many other photographers with him also agreed it was not staged or posed. Experts in photography say it is easy to tell that the photo was not posed. They say no photographer would make a picture that hides almost all of the people's faces. And they say no photographer would have two of the people nearly hidden. You can decide for yourself. A copy of Joe Rosenthal's photograph and pictures of Felix de Weldon's statue can be found on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Our program was written by Paul Thompson. We had assistance by Kim Varzi and Kelly Jean Kelly. I'm Steve Embert, inviting you to join us again next week for This is America from VOA Learning English.